On tonight's concert, you will hear two pieces which suit the chapel's reverberant acoustics very well, and we think suit the world situation well, surrounded as we are by violence and death. Much of the Durufle Requiem is based on melodies taken from Gregorian chant, in particular the Gregorian chant version of the Requiem Mass for the Dead. While much of the melodic material of Lord St. Luke's Aeterna sounds as if it's inspired by chant. Durufle wrote the Requiem in memory of his father, and he said that chant conveyed his thoughts about a human being whose soul at death is taken into the arms of an angel and gently rocked throughout the entire dramatic journey upwards to heaven to meet God face to face. Nearly all of the melodies of the plain chant Mass for the Dead have been set in Durufle's Requiem. The entire piece is suffused with Gregorian chant. We've chosen four movements in which the chant melodies are rather clearly presented, and we'll show you the original chant followed by Durufle's setting of it in a couple of places in each movement. After the intermission, we will highlight a few musical events in Lauridsen's Lux Aeterna. The beginning of the Requiem Mass, both chant version and plays, is an introit. The text, Requiem Aeternam Dona Eis Domine, grant them eternal rest, O Lord. And the themes of rest and light run through the Requiem and indeed through this whole concert. The beginning of the chant melody, Requiem Aeternam, this introit, sounds like this.
Requiem Aeternam.
When Durufle sets that melody, he gives it to the men of the chorus and surrounds it with orchestra in lush harmonies. And the melody continues, as does the text. And after that Requiem Aeternam text, but still in that movement, there's a psalm set, Te Decet Hymnus, which is set more on a reciting tone with one predominant pitch. And following that, the entire Requiem Aeternam, such as you just heard, is repeated, both in the chant mass and also in Durufle's. But in Durufle's, he does not have the men sing the melody on the reprise or the restatement, but rather gives it to the first and second violins. Second violins, a beat behind the first violins and transposed down a fourth. So they're playing in canon. And that sounds like this. When we add the other voices to that, the sopranos and tenors sing music that is not chant, and it sounds like this. In the second movement, which is the Kyrie Eleison, or Lord Have Mercy, there is one chant phrase sung nine times, three on Kyrie Eleison, three on Christe Eleison, and then two of the last three on the same melody, Kyrie Eleison. But the ninth melody is different. That first melody sounds this.
Kyrie.
Eleison. When Durufle sets that, he puts it first into the basses and then into all the other voices of the chorus. And after they have all entered, the trumpets play this melody in slow-moving notes on a cantus firmus. So again, it starts, Kyrie. In this movement, the chant does not always stay at the pitch originally written in the chant, but Durufle transposes it and does other things to it. A little bit later in the movement, presentation, we'll present some of those, but at the ninth phrase, which is different, the basses sing the melody first and then the other voices in the chorus, as with the first melody, but the trumpets enter much more quickly, still in cantus firmus. So the ninth phrase is Kyrie. Here it is in Durufle. My favorite moments in all the Requiem. The Agnus Dei is also tripartite, like the Kyrie, and it also uses one melody three times, though there is one word added to the third repetition. It sounds like this.
Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, Dona eis requiem.
And this melody is presented several times in Durufle, often transposed and sometimes in canon. One of those canons has the sopranos and altos on E-flat and B-flat. There's a portion of the chant also in the organ. So again, the melody begins,
Agnus Dei,
here transposed in the women's voices. And a little bit later, the chant is taken over by the violas and cellos, again transposed and also modified slightly in melody. The basses of the chorus are singing Dona Eis Requiem at the same time. With the final movement, we come to a movement that is not in the Requiem Mass, nor is the preceding movement of the Durufle Requiem. They're both taken from the burial service. And this final movement, In Paradisum, which means may a choir of angels lead you into paradise, has this chant melody at the beginning.
In paradisum,
So the upwards motion is meant to suggest the movement upwards to paradise.
In paradisum dedu cante angeli.
Presented pretty much straightforward by the sopranos in Durofle's version, transposed down a half step. Sopranos continue that beautiful chant through half the length of the In Paradisum. But halfway through, the chant is no longer sung by the choir, but played by the organ. At the text, Chorus Angelorum, the choir of angels will lift thee up.
Chorus Angelorum.
The choir sings that text, but not on that melody. You'll hear this in the right hand of the organ.
Chorus Angelorum.
Save the ending for the actual performance. That long melody on the top right hand of the organ is still part of the chant. But underneath it, there's a wonderful bit of text painting as the chords in the left hand of the organ go continuously up for two octaves, again ascending to paradise. So I'll ask David Arcus to play the chant on top and that rising line in the left hand. Before bringing this to a close and performing the Durofle, I should mention that our concert program shows a full orchestra list, but we are in fact doing Durofle's version for reduced orchestra. We hope you will enjoy this very beautiful work.